Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. Pals are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gus.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Panzer Dragoon, an OVA from 1996. I chose this one because it's short and we've been covering Not E3 for a few days and I needed something light. It was animated by Production IG, the studio behind Sengoku Basara Samurai Kings, the movie, and Tales of Vesperia, The First Strike, both of which we covered on this. Panzer Dragoon currently has a My Animalist score of 3.28.
Wow, that's slow.
Yeah, that's on the low end, yeah. This is based on a game by the same name, which was developed by Sega in 1995 and spawned a series. My synopsis for this OVA is: a mysterious tower, mysterious dragons, and mysterious airships spell mystery for Kyle and his friends. Arthur, what do you have?
When Alita gets kidnapped, Kyle makes an unlikely alliance in a blue dragon that seems to be more intelligent than it seems.
And goes.
Kyle's friend, my lady, is abducted by a dragon and he allies himself with another dragon to shoot things.
Yeah, she has two names, doesn't she?
Yeah, I think my lady is her first name.
So the anime opens on some airships approaching a tower, which does something with them. And then an automated voice states that it's activating a final program, and within the tower, a black dragon awakens. We cut to Alita and Kyle riding a horse, where she startles awake for what she claims is no reason. Okay, so it's not a horse, but what would you guys call it?
A raptor?
I mean...
a tauntaun?
I don't know how to explain it, because it looks like a dog, almost, on the face area? But then everything else just screams not dog at all. Like the neck is really long and then the body's like uncomfortably stumpy.
I think Tauntaun actually describes it pretty well.
Yeah, a furless Tauntaun explains it perfectly.
They are with a guy named Dividoc. Don't bother remembering that name. And hunting a burrowing creature. And we learn that despite her being blind, Alita can still sense the burrower's whereabouts.
Which is never explained and doesn't come into play ever again.
Dividoc shoots the burrower before the black dragon swoops in to attack the trio. However, it's sent off by a blue dragon with a rider on its back.
I mean, I feel like we're sorely missing the fact that they overuse the names in this scene. It's like, hey, Ace Lister, did you see that part? I thought it was funny too, Ace Lister. Oh, I'm glad you've liked the anime so far, Ace Lister. It's like, shut up. Oh my god, I don't even use my wife's name that often.
I think the subtitles use the name Dividoc once.
Oh, but let's not forget the fact that she said Kyle in like three different lines back to back.
I actually, what version did you watch? Did you watch it in Japanese with subtitles or with English dub?
Japanese and subtitles.
I switch between the two.
Yeah, I noticed that there's a good amount of dialogue that's added in the dub.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I actually pointed that out a couple of times in my notes. We get the titles with some painfully 90s music. Not good 90s, like bad 90s.
Actually, that music, I was like, that was kind of nostalgic for me because it feels like a video game intro music with like when they have like a montage of different scenes from the game or like an attract mode, I suppose, in arcades when no one is playing and it needs to play something on the screen to attract people.
Yeah, is that like an auto playing demo? Yeah. That's true.
You know, I can actually see that.
So I looked it up, and that's actually music from the intro of this game, which is this opening scene.
Wait, was it? I think I must have skipped past the titles of the gameplay, so I didn't actually notice.
Yeah, it's like the first cutscene, which is this first scene where they there's three riders chasing the creature, and yeah, until the moment where he meets the dragon, that's the music that's playing. That's the intro.
Well, fair enough. We return to the dragons fighting and the humans below running for cover in a cave. Above, the dragon rider is blasted, which causes Alita to cry out in fear. The black dragon bursts through the roof of the cave and fuses Alita to its back, then vaporizes Divadok and leaves, collapsing the cave as it goes.
Poor Divadok. No one ever mourns him.
That's strangely accurate. No one cares. It's like, oh, anyway.
Divadok. So anyway,
what happened with her getting fused with that thing? That was gross. Y'all, focus. You just lost your friend.
Later, Kyle frees himself from the cave and finds the Dragon Rider's corpse, which immediately turns to dust, presumably meaning that this is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the OVA takes place during Avengers Infinity War.
Oh my god, it's the multiverse again.
Oh, is Gambit gonna appear?
The blue dragon lands and Kyle picks up the corpse's gun and threatens to shoot it. But it is telepathy to convince him to give chase to the black dragon instead.
Sorry, psycho power.
He mounts the dragon and they take off, and we cut then to some airships which are approaching the tower. Okay, I say approaching, but they're 300 kilometers away from it. The commander thinks about 30 years ago when an overwhelming power almost destroyed the whole empire. This never comes up again. The black dragon speeds past the airships and turns around, leaving thousands of bugs to attack the ships.
Yeah,
that's a good question, because I don't think we got to see them very close.
Meanwhile, Kyle is screwing around with the gun he found, and its kickback almost dismounts him.
Yes, that's something I noted, is that throughout this whole thing, everyone has like poor, I'm gonna call it saddle etiquette. Because first off, they're riding the tauntauns and chasing the creature, and Alita is sitting in a lady saddle,
side saddle,
sideways, yeah. And it's like, you're gonna fucking fall off. You're fucking blind.
They happen upon the Empire airships, which open fire on the pair, so the dragon blasts them until Kyle tells it to stop. Well, I wasn't sure if it's because he said stop or because the dragon downed all the airships. They land and Kyle finds the commander, injured but alive, and apparently the only survivor.
And I want to note that the scene where he gets out of the rubble is like the same framing of his flashback, where he thinks back to where his ship was destroyed and he was the only survivor, and he climbs out of the rubble.
That's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah, 30 years ago, this exact same thing happened to me.
And I just imagined him saying, not again.
Kyle tells the dragon off and threatens to shoot it. And then we cut to later, with Kyle sat at a campfire watching over the unconscious commander, who had mentioned seeing a girl. Kyle has a flashback to threatening the dragon and then dragging the commander away. Why did we snap forward just to have a flashback to that previous scene?
It was horrible. Yeah. I was confused and a little annoyed.
Yeah, that's something that you would show in if that was the second episode or something.
Yeah. But like, what?
Not in the same fucking movie.
It's a few seconds. That's the worst part. It's not like a few minutes ago or, you know, at the beginning of the movie. No, a few seconds pass and suddenly you skip forward and now it's a memory.
He then thinks back to a time he spent with Alita at a harvest festival. She asks him to describe things, so he assaults her. She's blind. You don't go kissing anyone, let alone a blind person, without their consent. What the fuck, 1996?
Hey, I think that was totally romantic.
They probably kissed before.
I don't get that feeling because of her reaction.
Yeah, and from what they were saying, it like they had recently met.
Yeah, it's 100% assault. Like, I was also a bit taken aback by it.
I thought they were talking like, we're gonna leave this town again now. Something like that.
Yeah, it was really unclear. Like, I've heard that this town celebrates its harvest festival, she says. And then he's like, okay, well, I'm leaving soon. And she's like, oh, can I come with you? But I thought you didn't live here, but do you live?
Yeah, I don't remember her saying that. Maybe she did, but I had an impression that they knew each other for a while.
Well, he says that he kissed her to better describe the color red, because it's the color of her cheeks, which she cannot see.
At least she knows how red feels like. It's the equivalent of him being like, let me show you what red feels like, burns her alive.
No, it's like... It's like the color of your cheeks. What, like, you know how your cheeks feel? That's red. There's red there.
Yeah, didn't need to kiss her. Could have just slapped her on the face, you know?
I mean, that would have been worse.
Totally acceptable. A totally acceptable form of assault.
Back at the campfire, the commander struggles to wake, talking about not letting the girl and dragon reach the tower. He manages to say Lauren C, presumably the location of the tower, before attacking Kyle, strangling him until the blue dragon swoops in to save the day. Well, he grabs the commander and then Kyle shoots him. But
he became a werewolf.
That was a very gritty execution scene when he shot him. Also, I want to point out that when the commander was talking... lying there, Kyle like kneels next to him, and the moment he kneels down, the commander winces as if Kyle like stepped on his balls or something.
He's kneeling on his hand.
It's that exact timing. The commander goes, "Oh my groin!"
They fly off, and okay, in the sub, it's just music. But the dub has Kyle narrating endlessly.
No, okay. So what did he say? Because I didn't get to watch the dub.
It's stuff like, and then we flew away and we were flying and it was in the air because we were going over the sea and the flying. Oh my God, shut up.
Did he also talk about the flashback that he had 5 seconds after something, the scene from the flashback happened?
And then we flew away and I thought about how moments earlier I just shot the guy. No. It's an issue that a number of early translations to English had, where the people in charge figured that the audience would get bored if it's just quiet. So they would add in dialogue that wasn't there.
I mean, even nowadays, some localizations have that thing where they don't quite translate exactly what's happening. And I think with that one in particular, it might have been the attitude that it was animation, so it was for children, so they had to explain things exactly.
Yeah, that's why there was blood in it.
I mean. Yeah, there's blood, but I think back then there was more of an attitude that it's animation, so it's probably for children.
But anyway, they fly through some ruins and take a detour so that Kyle can see some dragon corpses? Question mark. These are never explained.
I mean, that's what they looked like, I think.
I mean, the thing is, we're skipping half of the things that never get explained. Like, why did the captain go crazy, for instance? That was also never explained. If we keep a counter of things that haven't been explained, we're at 4 so far.
The captain going crazy, I took to be as a result of the bugs. Like, they infested the airships and turned the humans, you know, evil, crazy, something like that.
I had assumed that the blue dragon had attacked the fleets because they were like already, like it could tell they were already evil, which is why it eventually came back for Kyle. So I didn't take it that the bugs had done that, but that's a really good point.
Yeah, that's how I understood it also.
We cut to Alita and the black dragon approaching the tower, and then back to Kyle and the blue dragon doing the same. The tower, I don't know, activates? Parts of it move. And they spot Alita and her dragon and attack. because, you know, stopping for reminiscing of 5 minutes ago at campfire did not slow them down and in fact probably sped them up somehow. Kyle tries to stop the dragon by endlessly shouting about how Alita might get hurt. The blue dragon manages to win the fight by biting the black dragon's neck, and they all spiral down inside the tower. Kyle won't stop saying Alita's name as he frees her from being part merged with the black dragon, and then his tears revive her as the black dragon escapes. Like, if you were watching the dub, it's just endlessly, Alita, 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 shut up.
And he suddenly stopped calling her my lady, which was confusing to me. I thought that was her name.
Kyle and the blue dragon give chase, leaving Alita inside the tower. And we have 5 minutes left, and the dragon finally gives its name psychopowerly, while fighting the black dragon. Its name is Blau.
Kind of like blue, but you couldn't really pronounce it very well.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yep, same.
I thought that Kai would start like calling him blue or something to like differentiate his friend from his enemy. And then, my name is Blau.
It's probably not a good idea for him to be going, blue, attack the black.
Well, it was, at least it wasn't white, it was blue.
Blau asks to combine their power, so Kyle does a Kamehameha, all but vaporizes the black dragon.
And when I watched that scene, I was thinking, oh, Ace is going to call it Kamehameha.
The black dragon falls into the ocean below and explodes, but the tower lights up. Kyle and Blau return to Alita, and once Kyle is off of the dragon, Blau puts a force field around the two humans and sends them to safety? This is another part where, in the dub, he won't shut up. Because Blau is silent in the sub, but in the dub it's, someone has to survive for our story to have any meaning.
Yeah, here's exposition of, because you're too stupid to infer that from what's happening.
And yet they didn't explain the insects. Anyway, Blau flies down into the tower and self-destructs. And then we cut to later with Kyle waking up on the beach next to Alita, who is already awake, and she can see.
And that was never explained. Go on.
Sorry to interrupt you. I kind of assumed that, because when he removes her from the thing and her eye, from the black dragon and her eyes open, they look different. And I thought, because of the connection with the dragon, like her eyes healed and that's going to be a thing. So I wasn't that surprised at that point that she was able to see.
I really wish we could have heard what her thoughts were on the color red at this point, being like, yeah, it really did feel like that.
Blau somehow flies overhead as the pair watch, and we get the credits. So, was this a good adaptation?
So I did a decent amount of research, and I feel like it was a good adaptation. In the game, there is Alita isn't a character at all, and Kyle, the protagonist, just kind of gets on the dragon because the rider like telepathically tells him don't let the black dragon get to the tower. So like that's weird in the game, like why would you do that? So I feel like adding a character that Kyle cared for and he had some motivation to join forces with the blue dragon, I heard that was good.
Yeah, I think it was pretty good adaptation. It built on what the game presented. It used enemies and locations from the game, and of course the main storyline, if not like the full storyline.
Yeah, the story seems to be pretty much word for word what happened in the game, like including the ending, although the ending is more ambiguous about Blau surviving, because Kyle finds himself in safety and he sees that there are footprints of the dragon around him.
So, is this a Yata, a Nani, or a Baka, Arturo?
I think for me, this one's a Nani. Now, I did it, like, it's weird, right? I went into this, I didn't know it was a three. So when I heard it was a three, I was like, yeah, it kind of makes sense. But I didn't hate it. It wasn't the worst thing. I've had animes that we've watched before that I've disliked more. And after learning about the game and finding like the Panzer Dragoon remake, I thought it looked pretty decent. And it kind of plays along with what the game is about. So I feel like that kind of raises it for me. So though I didn't enjoy it, I also didn't feel like the dread of being like, oh no. Because usually when we're narrating and going through the episodes, I rewatch it just in case I see anything that I thought that I had forgotten. And I didn't feel that initial feeling of like, no, I don't want to do that again. Like I felt with some others. So for me, I think that's kind of like evens it into a Nani.
Okay, and close it goes.
I think it's a Nani. Like the main fault of it, I think, is the animation isn't that great. Like it has a weird low quality thing where I'm not sure how to call it. Like there's pixelation of the 2D stuff and even 3D stuff too, which I guess is taken straight from the game. It just isn't great to look at. Could be better, but this story, I think it's easy to follow and there are hiccups, but it felt like a worse version of like a animation short that you might see on YouTube or I don't know. I don't really have a specific thing to compare it to, but I think there might be like Studio Ghibli shorts or something like that that feel similar. It's like the story is simple and easy to follow. That's it.
Okay. Myself, it's a Baka. I did not enjoy this, like, even ironically, that there was no part of it that I enjoyed. And Arthur, I would suggest you watch it with the dub. You rewatch it with the dub and listen to how many times he says Alita.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to do that. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I really want to hear the ramblings of the character. That sounds horrible. It probably would have been the thing to make me turn this into a Baka.
I want to watch now with, like, Japanese audio, because it might make it better.
Yeah, like, that's what's interesting, is that I feel like because I only watched it in Japanese, I had a better experience. And because I feel like if he just starts like rambling and narrating, especially because there's no like nothing indicating that he's narrating at the end of the episode, so it just feels out of place even more. So I think that would definitely be a worse experience.
So does it deserve its buy-in on the score of 3.28?
I mean, in Game Grin, that's literally the lowest score we would give something. I don't think it deserves to be like the worst scum of the earth. But at the same time, it's really, I know I should hate this more than I do. So I'm just going to say I'd bump it up to a 4 at most. It's not like I'd recommend it to anyone.
Yeah, I think like something between 4 and 5 would be fine. Maybe even a 5. Like it does the bare minimum of what it's supposed to. Although, I personally might bump it up to a 6 because it's short.
I guess that's a good point as well. Maybe that's why it didn't feel so horrible, because it was short. So if it had been like an hour and a half of this, I don't think I'd be sane anymore.
Well, the minus score is lower than Spectral Force, which Arturo said was a Yata, and both me and Gauze says was a Baka. Not that should color your opinions of it, but yeah, my note for does it deserve its minimum score is, yeah, it's horrible.
Oh.
Like, it had better animation than Spectral Force, but not enough for me to say it's better than Spectral Force.
Yeah, Spectral Force had titties, I think.
Without nipples. Sorry, without female-presenting nipples.
Eh.
So it didn't count as nudity. Anyway. Thank you for joining me, Arthur and Gauze.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Piles Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You'll find more from us on GameGrin.com, find us on social media, or listen to the Grincast podcast. Until next time, game on.